What was interesting, or what was impactful, or what question they wanted asked, because they really wanted to share some part of their experience. There were a good portion of them that said when the event was
Announcing
announced, they were going and they didn't even know what it's about yet.
yes.
And the about that the event ended up being about was exactly what they wanted.
Yeah. Welcome to the Driving to the Rest podcast. This is Inelia.
And this is Larry. Just a quick note, if you're hearing this, you're on our free feed, which means you'll only get the first part of this conversation.
To access the rest, go drivingtotherest.com and subscribe to the Wisdom Keeper Hour.
Join us and our expert panelists for detailed insights and the after party where you're invited to join in the conversation. Head over to drivingtotherest.com and become a subscriber.
Your $8 subscription keeps this podcast ad-free and helps us keep the lights on and maybe even get a decent cup of coffee. More importantly, it connects you with a community of passionate wisdom keepers like yourself. So if you're ready to go deeper, join us at drivingtotherest.com and support the journey. Hi, honey.
Boy, this has been a week, hasn't
Yes.
it?
For me, it has been a few months.
It's been a few months long week.
Yes.
Not in a bad way, but in a
Very
I cannot
exciting.
believe how intensely packed each day is kind of way.
Yeah. We're talking, of course, about the fact that we did an in-person lecture series called the Nature Reality Lecture Series 2025, an in-person event. It's very intense.
And when you say nature of reality, do you mean it? Because the reality we experience and the true nature of reality, they're intertwined, but they are not equivalent.
Right. Yeah, the information that came in was pretty interesting to me. I was actually quite surprised about the content that was allowed to come through,
I know, me too.
and I was kind of proud of all the participants. Because when I do an in-person event, the mechanics behind it is that I plan the event and I have an idea of what we're going to be learning, right? What I'm going to be teaching and the participants are going to be integrating and learning. And it's not actually solidified until the participant list is closed, right? But as people start coming in, the event starts forming, so it's always better to do the announcement a few months earlier.
Right.
And as it evolves, the topics start coming in. So there's a general idea what's going to be. I have that. And then slowly but surely, that information, the ones that information that we're ready for as a human collective, and therefore be carried by the participants, starts to come in. And when the information started coming in for this event, one of the things that I found surprising was that it was pushing my own levels of comfort. You know,
Yeah.
it's a little bit outside my comfort zone. And I trusted in the process and I did more testing, investigating. And when I do testing and investigating, it means expanding my field of awareness and pulling in what the human collective knows or wants to learn, know right now and why. And when I start getting information, I test it out to make sure it's accurate. First of all, I proof it, I truth it.
Truth it.
I use the truthing exercises that are in in the IBENS methodology. And then I start. If there's exercises or things that I think might be curious, I start testing those. In particular, one of the things that was interesting to me was the information about what I call the endobody. And I did talk a little bit about that already at a public level, was coming in. And it felt to me that we needed to use an ex a program that we're all carrying that is not a natural human program. It's natural for other species, you know, and other beings, but not for humans. It's not natural for humans. And that's the aging program.
Right. I mean, you might hear that and say, well, everything ages, so why would humans be somehow different? But I don't know if you remember or not, but there's been plenty of anecdotal evidences suggesting in the past humans didn't age at the rate that we do now. For instance, you know, the list of the kings, I think, is in the Bible that were like 6,000-year reigns and things like that.
That's true, yes.
So there's evidences that it wasn't always as it is now. And humans are, surprise, surprise, different than
cats and dogs, and bears, and Sasquatch. And if you don't know, if you think, no, we're not different, then let me just tell you, you live in a house, you're wearing clothes, you use heating and AC, maybe, blankets, cars. You're using computers and cars, thinking about airplanes. You are different.
It's a far cry from little stick going in an anthill to get some ants out. That doesn't really actually qualify in my book as a tool. I mean, it's a thing, but yeah. it ain't a car.
It's not exactly a computer.
It's not a computer. It doesn't, Anyway.
So
you are a little different.
The aging program during the event, finding it, removing it, resetting the maturity of the physical body. As an example, because every single person in the event, and probably every single person that will purchase the lectures when they're released, will carry is the aging program.
Yeah, it's pretty synonymous with everyone.
Yeah. So that's why I use that example. And also resistances to the removal of the aging program, which a lot of us carry. You might say, I want to be.
And then you say, well, I really don't want to wear diapers again. Well, I don't really want to like go to high school.
It's not a reversal of the
aging.
It's a resetting. So once you became mature, an adult, at a physical level, that's where it goes.
I agree.
So you wouldn't be
wearing the resistances would come up like that. A person's resistance might be initial, like, no, I don't want to go through all that dependence part again.
Dependence?
Depending on others to take care of all of their needs.
But that's not mature adult, is it?
I'm not saying that it is. What I'm saying is that when a person has a resistance to the aging program, one of the limitations that would come in are those kind of ones. They're just autopilot.
I'm not understanding. Can you explain it in different words for me?
So do you want to be young again or younger? When people think about the aging program, most of them say, yes, I'd like to be younger, but to a point. They'll say, like, I don't mind going back to 30 or 20, but I don't want to go back to 10 or 12.
Yeah, that's why I said it's not a reversal of aging. It's more like a reset to your maturity level of the physical body, the natural maturity level, when you became an adult.
And I meant to say that an automatic limitation program in people's bodies.
Understand that it's traversing aging.
That's how they hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I see now. Thank you.
So that's why it would be like autopilot disengaged. Mm-hmm. We'll just keep that one going. We don't really want to be in diapers, even if it's not true.
Yeah. Or it could be like most of the resistances I have found are from the physical body elemental. And it has to do with being uncomfortable in the type of society or life that we're leading. So they want out. And the only way that they can think is guaranteed that eventually they'll go out is through aging and dying.
Right. Well, at the normal aging that we experience, it becomes quite uncomfortable to be existing.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a kind of feeds in itself.
And the normal experience that bodies have is a continuous incarnation cycle of like continuity of experience.
Yeah. Right? Let's reset. And also they have a chance to change their soul engagement to right. a different soul for our physical bodies.
And souls, right, in this experience, if they're here too long, they won't be able to stay engaged in the game. They won't be able to stay asleep.
Yeah.
So in order to have the experiences they like showed up for, they can't stay here too long.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon they get too wise.
Yeah, they can't play
the games
anymore.
Have you noticed that with certain aged TV commentators that have like, they've been fired from their corporate jobs and they looked at all of the things they've done over the years. And they're like, I can't believe I fell for all that stuff. I can't even do that anymore. I can't say those things. Whether or not they're a part of a new setup a game, it's irrelevant. But the point is that they're just not able to perform in the same capacity as an asleep talking head.
Yeah.
Right? They have like their own opinion. Is like, I'm not just going to say what you tell me anymore. I just can't do it. I think that's like the same.
Yeah.
Like, give them another 100 years, they'd be like, I can't play any of these games anymore. Right?
So in that, in those lectures, I showed where that program is.
Yeah.
And how to scrub the overlay of aging and reset the maturity program. Right. So that was one of the
things. That was day one, part one.
Yeah. I'm just like, yeah.
That's what made this about a 5-year long 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
How about the second part? Do you want to talk more about that?
Well, the. Yeah, we can go through the content, right? A little bit. Let me see. Where did I put that? I had it right here.
Yeah. That's right here. It. I remember every morning we'd get there and we'd find the participants doing a little exercise. Some of them would be like wiggling inside. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple, three of them was like talking, but they're wiggling. So it's like, well, I'm exercising. And other ones are running around outside. Really getting a sweat.
Yeah, so
everything in between.
Movement is very important. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every day before lectures, it would be exercise and movement. It was more gentle than would have been ideal. Ideal is the individuals who really went for it and got in a sweat.
Yeah, I've seen one person one day do that. Maybe two.
No, I saw one person in particular was, or a couple of them were doing quite
exerted.
Yeah. That's what you want to do. Yeah.
Well, everyone participated in the next part, a nice 15-minute meditation. And I noticed each morning's meditation sort of like consolidated the prior day's data dump into a experiential, like,
yeah,
something.
Right. And also some of them were geared to prepare the person for the next data dump.
That was also, yeah. And like the physical exercise, the mental process to absorb and
understand
and put in the body the knowing of what the hearing had been.
Right, yeah, right.
Kind of felt like that too.
So on day two, we did the perception and co-creation, bandwidth of perception, right? And how we co-create, not just with other people. Often, you know, a lot of manifestation classes and courses and teachers will talk about co-creating with other people.
Right.
And sometimes they actually don't do that, even that. But our co-creators are not just people. They're the entire universe. So working with all of our co-creators, even your computer.
Well, also like the plants make up in our body. Crystals. Remember, one of our participants is a PhD in basically co-creation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And plants and how they co-created realities with humans.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant, you know, like the biome in your body and the bacterias and the little bitty bobs that make up you. You're like, there are more of those than there are not those in you.
Yeah,
so you're like, you're more plants that aren't you than you that is you. So that was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And then how we do the, like that co-creative and bandwidth of experience with what we choose. And most of those choices are unconscious. So bringing consciousness back is very important. On day three, we did core self, alignment and activation. Who, what makes us who we are, and that individuality from lifetime to lifetime, that's a self.
The stability of that self from life to life.
Yeah, because you can have a core signature which goes through your entire existence, and a soul has its core signature throughout existence. A physical body has its core signature throughout its existence. When it comes to a particular life of a soul or a body, they have their core self, which is a very specific person. So you, for example, are Larry today, in this lifetime, and you were a different name and a different personality in a different lifetime, but the co-signature is the same, and you have the actually the same co-signature of your body the same, but the personality of Larry in this lifetime is very different. Not, I mean, it's not completely different, but it's very different to, let's
say, some key components that are
stay the same.
You stable, keep with
you. Yeah.
And other components that are somewhat variable, but on tap, but complementary.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And I think that was part of the endobody part also, right?
Yes, yeah, we explained that. And then we talked about how other parts, you know, like your core self, if you search the universe for it, you'll find other little sparkles of it.
Everywhere. The further you look, the further it goes.
Yeah. And then we did exercises around that. And we also looked at we moved that actually to the next day, insanity, right?
Yeah, the definition for insanity was quite interesting. And in the second hour, you'll hear people's experiences, I think particularly Fred's experience with that definition. It made a big impact.
Yeah, on our Wisdom Keeper Hour, the panelists interviewed some of the participants around their experience and understanding of the material as well, and the actual physical experience of the workshop. I mean, you can download lectures and listen to them, but the experience is never going to be the same as being there with that field of energy, with the information coming through live and touching everybody.
Like it's a level of intensity of
awareness
that isn't really replicatable.
Can't be.
I mean, you have to do a lot to put it, like take 4 days off and gather about 10, 15, 20 people and hire a chef and select a location that's pristine and high frequency and stable, and then remove yourself from outside influences and then, you know, dive into depth with. You're probably going to have to find some form of a high frequency emitter, bubble generator, namely someone like you, which I haven't found too many of, to create this field to like open your, expand your awareness.
Well. You know, it's like a big responsibility and the energies have to be pristine.
Right. Yeah. So there's a lot of things required to replicate that, which pretty much aren't replicatable.
Yeah. So on day three, we also, in the afternoon, we did our power object. So I had prepared the base of the power object, and then each person created and finished their own power object. I provided the base materials there, and then people brought their own special items they wanted to put in it. Yeah. And Larry's showing off his, if you're looking at the video, you can see Larry's power object.
There's the camera. So I have a Denarius in there and some some lapis lazuli, and there's some gold, and there's some black. What's the sapphire? No, black tourmaline.
Tourmaline, yeah. So the base that I made is with quartz and
quartz and gold.
23 karat gold. I could have put 24 in, but I like the number 23. And I like the number 5, so that's why I used it. It's just one of those things. And that's the base. And then it builds on that. The person builds on it.
Right. That was an interesting experience. I loved it.
Yeah. On day four, we talked about the larger earth, mystical awareness, and multidimensional perception. And we, on lecture 7 in the afternoon of day four, looked at the mystical body. Dun, dun, dun. That's quite fascinating, because the information about the mystical, magical body that we all have, but we, most of us have deactivated it, switched it off when we were kids, how it's used and for positive or negative, right? And how you can bring it back online. And that lecture is quite fascinating. And also people studied immediately going through the exercises and using it. Now, I have to remind everyone who was at the event, and if you're listening to this, the magical, mystical body is not an universal wrench.
You can't fix everything.
You can't use it for everything, okay?
All right, all right.
It's not for everything. You have other bodies. You have your emotional body, your mental body, your ego body, your physical body, your energy body. You have all those bodies you can do things with. And some of them are more
appropriately designed for?
For certain jobs.
Okay.
Right? The mystical body does have its own job. And, you know, let the lecture goes into that.
So. You also spoke a bit about a necrotic energy.
Yes, right from the beginning, we looked at necrotic energy.
And how it's being used, how we've been used, and how it's been placed, and what it's
and
for.
Why we bring it into our lives. How we bring it into our lives, and how to stop
doing that.
Bringing it into our lives and using it. Okay. There's some steps. Do you remember the steps?
I think one of them stop.
Yes.
And then one of them is do something different. And I think there's a one about being aware.
Yeah.
Is those the steps?
Well, yeah, you become aware of it.
Become aware of it first. Just like, maybe like read the ingredients.
What ingredients?
One step for some necrotics.
Oh, a lot of necrotic energy comes in from through our food, yes. Yeah.
Or look up in the sky.
Yes.
Or think because about the thoughts that you're thinking right now and then realize, oh, wait a minute.
Those are necrotic.
Necrotics.
Yeah. Necrotic being death energy and life-destroying energy.
And what's insanity?
Insanity is a thought or an action that hurts you or others or other.
Hmm. I like that definition.
Mm-hmm.
I much prefer it to the Einstein one that he's attributed to, right? Doing the same thing and expecting a different result. Einstein. Because you can do the same thing 100 times and eventually it'll work.
Or you can do the same. Oh, yeah. And explain. Mind you, I've done lots of times I do the same thing. I get different results.
Yes.
It's not actually true.
It's
not accurate. I mean, to me, that is a very good thing when you're trying something over and over, like a type of relationship, and it's not working for you. Then change your mind, change your actions.
But the key was it's not working for you. It's causing you harm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So to me, the definition I've been working with, and I didn't make it up, I picked it up somewhere, I think in high school, is doing something that hurts you or others or other. That's insanity.
That's just crazy. Okay.
So yes, yeah, so that was part of, I mean, the syllabus, we pretty much summarized the syllabus. And what's interesting to me would be like, what was your experience of it right from the beginning? Because you're as one of the mystics, you're holding the energies. You were also, you and Ileana were doing the cooking throughout the event. And it, my gosh, we ate a lot. I mean, you had to do a lot of cooking.
I was pretty surprised.
We actually spent thousands of dollars on just materials.
Yes, the mystics went shopping and we shot till we dropped.
Mm-hmm.
We had a Subaru and a giant truck and we filled the Subaru to the roof. There wasn't any room for the people to sit in there. We had to tie stuff on the roof. And that was just to eat.
Yes, that was just food.
And then it turned out when you're doing a high energy event like this, where it says it's an hour and a half between a break, that hour and a half in real time is probably like 6 days or something, because every hour and a half, every individual, bar none practically, was starving.
Yeah.
Everything that I could make
was eaten.
There was nothing left over. It took to day three before there started to be, like, I mean, I had we're talking giant pots of food there's no way that can be eaten up and it'd be gone.
And it was.
So the third day, there would be enough for, like, four people to have leftovers, but not everyone. It's like, there's only a teeny bit left over. I had to save leftovers for like five leftovers to make one end of the thing leftovers.
Yes.
Anyway, yes. I was surprised at the amount of food that we could eat.
Mm-hmm.
And can you explain that?
So the field of energy that we were holding is extremely high frequency. And I'm not talking about the sound that's really high pitched. I'm talking about like experience frequency. We're just using words that would explain it. Good vibes, high frequency, stuff like that. And the food, as you and Ileana were prepping and cooking, you were holding the high frequency state. Now that food was nourishing, was very, very nourishing to all of the bodies. And most individuals arrive not having had that for many years. So it's like the body, especially the physical bodies, the energy bodies, they were absorbing all that energy that they've been starving for. So it looked like they were eating so much food. It's like, I've never eaten so much food in my life, you know?
Or that type of food.
It was all organic, high frequency, expertly prepared, right? Like in a very high frequency way.
It was also in response to the bodies that were there. You know, when I started to cook it, I had a general framework for what was going to be made.
Your menu.
Yeah. I had one thing figured out. Like, okay, today is going to be, maybe it was a roast, chuck roast of some kind, or it was chicken thighs, or it was salmon or whatever. But that was it. Mm-hmm. All the rest of the things, there were everythings, including how it was going to be prepared, that were more like a tap into what are these bodies requesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's what will be in it. Because I use spices I never used before. I use ways to cook that I hadn't used before. Mm-hmm. And I did use ways that I had used before. But mm-hmm. I mean, I made a salad, for instance, that I found when I went to go visit my daughter the day before. And I got home, I was like, oh, yes, everybody wants that salad. Right.
Yeah, it was very good. And,
yeah. And uniquely, the very first snack, it was all salad.
Yeah.
And I think everyone was surprised in some way that not only could I make a salad, that salad was damn good. And yes. Why are you making salad? Because usually it's a bit carnivore.
Yes.
So I was like, well, everybody's body wants this. That's why.
Right.
Yeah. Unique experience for sure. I do remember going to other events, and some of them, like one event I remember, for 3 days, all we ate was a pecan and a piece of lettuce. And some tea, and that was it.
I remember some of our community members went to an event somewhere. I can't remember where they went, and they said the food was terrible.
Right, there was that too.
So and it's bad. Like, you're just spoiled, because when we have events, the food is so good. And they went, oh yeah, actually, that's quite normal for an event for the food to be really bad, or not, you know, enough even, or
not something. Enough, or yeah, just
doesn't taste good.
Doesn't taste good.
So you spoiled everyone, I guess, in our events. Yeah,
it's cool. Okay. If you come to one of our events, you will not
go hungry.
Not one tiny bit of hungry.
Because you're Makan. What does Makan mean?
Generous with food.
Generous with food. Yeah. Anyway, so what other things? What did you get out of the event? I know you worked really hard. But what else did you get? Pee-pee.
Please. You need your spot.
She's scratching.
Trying to make a bed. Yeah. Here, just lay down in my arms for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Well, the nature of reality and the expansion of our awareness is around things like the endobody, you know, is like a part of your body that is sticky. So ego body, emotional body, these kind of bodies, they get like things that attach to them, right? Mm-hmm. But over time, they naturally clean themselves. So
they can, yeah.
You can hold the stuff in your emotional body for an unnaturally long time and suffer, but it's going to, time heals all wounds in a sense, you know? Mm-hmm. But the endobody programs that you put there are meant to stick there and stay there. They don't just fall off by themselves. You have to physically do some form of a something in order to remove programs off of there. It's like when you're born, you know how to breathe.
Right.
You know, you must do it all day, and your heart knows how to pump, and there's basic biological functions. There's personality functions that babies carry with them.
That's the physical body and the body, right?
Right.
And the soul one, they just merge.
Merge into that. Well, then the soul body, the core self, those that attach things like, you know, some babies, your It's like the perfect baby never cries. And some of them, there's nothing you can do to make that baby happy.
Yes.
Those aren't learned. Those are, I think, attachments that come from their core self. That's like, I'm particular and this diaper is pinching me on my left side and you must fix that. Why can't you understand me? And other ones are like, my diaper is pinching me on the left side, but I don't care. I've been in meditations for thousands of years and pin cushions don't bother me not one tiny bit. You could stick me with a needle and I won't notice it.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of the end of body stuff. So kind of like imagine end of bodies carrying these life to life to life to life programs that we want to have over our maybe 100 life plan or whatever it might be. So that its existence and its function and it's permanent, but not permanent. In other words, without any action, it'll stay. But you can take an action.
Mm-hmm.
But the action that you would take, you know, has it's not like on a whim.
Mm-hmm.
It requires some effort. One of the examples you used, I think, was a fella, a Buddhist who was gay and didn't want to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
And he chanted for 10 years or 5 years, or I don't know how long.
It was a long time.
It was quite a long time. It wasn't like,
more than 10
I'm
years.
Not going to be gay tomorrow. It was with much effort
hours.
And certain and strong why and all of those other, he was able to adjust that in himself.
Mm-hmm.
But that would have been more of an end of body stuck.
I think so, yeah.
And so there was another example. I think you gave another example of someone who did something similar. They weren't a Buddhist and didn't do it the Buddhist way, but it was still, it took quite a long amount of effort to remove that from their endobody. And then when you had something and you decided to take it off your endobody, you didn't know it was on your endobody. You just tried to take it off and it was stucky and it's sticky and you pulled it and pulled it and
boink, boink, back.
Bounced right back. You're like, what the?
The hell?
Is that?
I thought that the, I thought that the endobody was the thing, right? But then it wasn't. It's like, wait, no. The thing is inside the endobody. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's these delineations between the bodies and the things.
Yeah. So we talked
the
about
of the things. Those are one of the things.
About, the endobody and how to work with it and keep it nice and clean and change your life for it. We talked about the core self, right? Which again is very unique and you can work with it, how to become aware of it, conscious of it, and work with it. And we talked about the magical, mystical, shamanic body and how to, again, become aware of it, activate it if you haven't.
Utilize it
and how to utilize it in a safe way. Give some example of some of my oopsies. And like what you can do, what defaults you can left. You can turn it on and off as you use it. You can leave it on all the time, but like, and you can put overlays on it to make specific jobs, right? When you're working on something, you put a little overlay on it to make you more effective and that magical work. And then you take that overlay off, right? And you can put a different one on. So all those technicalities and how to do all that, that was quite interesting. And we did end up with one last exercise. We didn't actually cover it very much, but it was a very effective exercise, which I call construct, deconstruct, and reconstruct.
Right.
So it's like not construct, but construct, deconstruct, and reconstruct. It's a little exercise that we did when everybody was very tired.
The very last of
all. Very last. And it's very possible I will actually record, because we didn't have time. We had like 15 minutes left on the entire thing.
And everyone was starving.
Tired,
some general
exhausted thing. After like many, many hours of lectures. And I will probably record a lecture just to go into depth about that tool and how you can use it in just about anything in life. So
the one that I liked, the other one that I thought had that made an impact on me was the
what?
Gaia exercise, scrubbing your endobody.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to talk about that because that's part of the lecture. And taken out of context, it's going to mess you up. So we're not going to go into details on that one. It's one of the exercises where you can really accelerate cleansing your programs.
Cleansing your endobody of necrotics.
Yes. You put necrotic energy in all of your bodies, your mind, your emotional body, your physical body. They go in there, you know, and it's not good. Not good at all.
Not if you want to co-create a new paradigm. It's just not going to work.
Right.
It's incompatible.
It's incompatible, yeah.
Right. So, you know.
We talked about dragons too. And the little men in little insects.
Like, oh, yeah. The fairies and the
guys on
bugs and dragons. And
Yeah. The leprechauns.
That was part of the larger Earth discussion. Because
and the magical
general idea of what the aliens, the UFOs, and all that other things are. And I mean, we have a nice, I don't call it not a fairy tale. We have a nice narrative, you know, this spaceships come from outer space, a long, 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 long ways away. They can't travel here at light speed, so they have to go faster than light speed. I mean, there's a whole
series of shows.
All bunch of stuff about what those things are.
And how they work and all that.
But none that I've heard so far actually incorporate the true nature of reality, which is there is a larger Earth that we are a smaller part of.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a part of that larger Earth.
Yes.
And they regularly transit our containment area, but we don't see them as what they are. We see them as they're, I guess, represented through the containment field, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
Not to mention the other beings. They're not a part of our containment, but they are still visitors on occasion.
Yes.
And that it defies Newtonian physics, which is one of the endobody layers, I think, that we've put on everything, because with that, which only works within certain parameters, but it works with those certain parameters, like at a certain scale, beyond a certain scale, it falls apart.
Yes.
And we all know that, but we're just like, we'll just ignore that and say it works.
Yeah, it's a closed, I can't remember the name of it. It's an actual name for it.
Yeah, within that closed area of agreements, it works just fine, and it's good enough to get to the moon.
Yes.
Get to the moon, whatever, you know. So we'll just say it's good and go from there. You know, not scratch at it too hard, because if there was such a thing as a larger Earth, then you were contained within a smaller portion of...
In containment's continents.
And all of the things that you see from within the containment aren't exactly a screen, but they're not exactly, you know, what they are purported to be. And you're measuring the distances within a contained thing that simulates distances. Of course, it's going to... We know all about perspective, like a small thing looks far away. Or it's small, we don't know which.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's a really good example. Yeah.
Right. So within all of those things, the smaller Earth, larger Earth discussion alone opens up a whole other sense of what is real and what isn't real.
It does.
And I liked that.
Yeah, we went into that.
Because in the first episode of the Driving to the Mars, we went to a spaceship.
Yes.
Except for you went to our spaceship afterward. You said, well... It's not actually a ship, but you can call it a ship if you want.
I didn't say it's not exactly a ship. Oh, maybe I did, but I said it's
not a ship, but you can call it a ship.
Yeah, you can call it a ship.
You can call it a ship if you want. Yeah. It's not, but you can call it that.
Yeah, you can call it a ship.
And no, they're not that, but you can look like that. You can describe them that way.
I guess when I talk, it can be like a little bit frustrating. So the other interesting aspect of this event is that some years ago, I used to do live event, in-person events, very rarely, but I would do them, and I would advertise them in social media.
Publicly, yeah, I remember.
And then one year, I decided to announce it in our Wisdom Keeper platform, Walk With Me Now, first, before doing the public one. It got sold out. So I thought that was cool. That's great. I was in two minds about it. But then when the event happened, it was extraordinarily better because individuals had all the bases. They were familiar. Yeah, they had their bases covered. So it's like the I've been Ivan's method, like the fear processing exercise, firewalls exercise, and a lot of the lectures that gave the basic understanding of everything we were going to cover.
The foundation.
The foundation was there. So we could really fly with it.
Without getting bogged down with, you need to process your fear with the fear process. You would have to start with the basic.
Yeah, exactly. So to me, that was really extraordinary. It was very interesting, fascinating, and very exciting. And then after that, I've only ever announced the live in-person events in Walk With Me Now.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, if three people turn up, it's fine. We'll do it, right?
Yeah.
So that's what's been happening the past 2-3 years, I think, now. And it's like extraordinary. So if you say, oh, you know, exclusivity, whatever's, well, it's very simple. You join Walk With Me Now and you do the basic, there's so much courses and classes there, and you can download it as a member. And when you join, there's going to be a list of suggested classes and courses for you to review and to redo if you haven't already, or to do if you haven't done them yet. And then the participants start working on these together.
Right. So when an event is announced, there's a long list of prerequisites, not to mention...
Suggested
prerequisites. I mean, it's for you, so...
Right. You're an adult. You can do what you want.
You can do what you want.
But to get the max out of the person in-person event... If you do these, then you won't be bogged down by the basic stuff that you haven't learned yet. And you can really get everything, like max value out of it. And yeah, the events have been amazing, really extraordinary. So if you're interested in doing an event with us in the future, I would say join Walk With Me now. And
then you'll be ready.
Then you'll be ready by the next one, you know.
And when it is announced. Mm-hmm. You'll know, and it was an interesting, and you'll hear in the second hour, if you're a member of the second hour, the Wisdom Keepers, when we interviewed everyone, all of the attendees, not all of them wanted to, but I think 90% wanted to share what was interesting or what was impactful or what question they wanted asked, because mm-hmm. they really wanted to share some part of their experience. There were a good portion of them that said when the event was announced, they were going and they didn't even know what it's about yet.
Yes.
And the about that the event ended up being about was exactly what they wanted.
Yeah.
That they didn't, in some cases, even know. And I think in one case, someone said, there's an event, and then looked and said, oh, shit, I'm going.
I'm there.
How the hell am I going? I can't go. It's impossible. But I'm there. Yeah. And they were. Sorry. So you want to hear some of these stories, you know, get yourself a second hour subscription.
Yes. The nitty gritty of the experiences, if you want to know what it's like for as a participant.
From the experiencers themselves.
Yeah. Getting to this, our second hour. It's only $8 a month for the second hour of our podcast. It supports us being able to bring all this information to you. And you get the real good juicy parts on the Wisdom Keeper Hour. So
the kind of things you might say in a private room with people friends. That are friends and acquaintances instead of at a public level, like anybody can hear.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll see you there.
Yeah. Bye.
Love you, honey. If anybody's been to Seattle and rode the ferries... He built them.
Literally.
Literally.
Yeah.
Alaska State Ferries, three of them.
And the State.
Malaspina and the Taku.
Wow.
Oh, I've been on all of those.
Yeah.
And Mary has been on some of my personal work within embedded into that ferry system.
That's amazing.
Amazing. I really appreciated, especially once I got here, that we prepared a lot. Like Adelia gave us a lot of classes. I couldn't get through all of them before I came here, but we prepared a lot before we actually showed up, so that everyone could be having some conversations that were deeper and really doing this together. But then also to have it in a beautiful environment, like the Shaman Shack environment gives you an environment that allows you to be like feeling really good in your body and then having great food and prepared by Larry.
What helped you decide, yes, I'm definitely going to Anelia's workshop 5,000 miles away from England to here? I mean, what pushed you over the edge to say, yes, I'm definitely going? What was it? What was the reason?
It was a big loud yes. There was nothing else.
It was a journey. Every workshop and every workshop with Inelia, it's a journey. It is a journey before the workshop.
Indeed, I've noticed that.
It's the peak at the workshop. Yes. And it's after the workshop, the work starts.
Join us for the rest of this conversation at driveintotherez.com.
And when you go to driveintotherez.com and you join in the rest of the show, rest of the second hour, you also get to join in the after party. 9 o'clock on Fridays, we all get together, including you,